The Paramount and Warner Bros.' Discovery merger story continues to develop in ways that have real human consequences. An LA County analysis estimates roughly 2,500 Los Angeles jobs and 6,000 positions globally could be cut as David Ellison targets $6 billion in cost reductions. Hollywood has been through rounds of consolidation before. Disney absorbing Fox, AT&T acquiring, and then divesting Warner, but the combination of Paramount and WBD would be the largest media consolidation in years. And in a city where the entertainment industry functions as an economic ecosystem, 2,500 jobs is a significant local economic shock.
The borough's situation is interesting from a different angle. This is the show's cast rallying Emmy voters after Netflix canceled the sci-fi series despite its obvious popularity and award season momentum. This is increasingly a pattern in streaming. A show builds a devoted audience, gets Emmy nominations, and then gets canceled anyway because the platform's internal metrics, completion rates, subscriber acquisition attribution, cost per hour viewed, don't align with critical reception or audience passion. The cast using Emmy voter outreach as a kind of final advocacy campaign is a creative response to a structural mismatch between quality and commercial calculation.
The Vance, RFK Jr., and senior officials' sauerkraut diet story is equal parts policy and cultural curiosity. Four senior administration officials, including the vice president, following a fermented food regimen from Dr. Sean O'Mara is one thing. But the detail that this dietary philosophy has shaped new federal dietary guidelines is where it becomes a genuine policy story. Federal dietary guidelines affect school lunch programs, nutrition labeling, and medical guidance at enormous scale. The pathway from a VP's personal wellness regimen to official federal nutrition guidance is worth examining carefully.
The Halo Studios reversing the PS Plus requirement for split-screen co-op is a story about fan advocacy and corporate responsiveness that's worth noting. Halo announcing that local co-op on PS5 would require two PlayStation Plus subscriptions created immediate and significant backlash. Paying for a second subscription to play split-screen with someone on the same couch is a departure from how local multiplayer has historically worked. The studio reversing course within days, citing an incorrect FAQ, is a win for fan pressure, but also a reminder of how quickly gaming communities mobilize around what they perceive as consumer-hostile policies.
And the viral German World Cup fan invited to the White House is the kind of soft power cultural moment that happens when a major international sporting event is hosted in the United States. Whoever this fan is, their story has apparently gone viral enough to earn a White House invitation. It's a reminder that the 2026 World Cup represents an enormous global soft power opportunity for the U.S. at a moment when American international standing is contested. A viral fan story generating goodwill is trivially small in diplomatic terms, but symbolically resonant.
Frank Stronach, the founder of Magna International, one of the world's largest automotive suppliers, being convicted of sexual assault is a significant corporate governance story. Stronach built Magna into a global supplier with revenues in the tens of billions of dollars. His conviction is a serious personal and reputational matter, and it raises questions about corporate culture and accountability at companies built around founder-dominant leadership structures.
Now let me shift us into the what if we're wrong exercise for today. The most confident claim in today's news cycle, the consensus position that has the most apparent certainty behind it, is the AI capital expenditure supercycle. JP Morgan at $5.5 trillion, Foxconn's precise rack-by-rack cost analysis, Jane Street building its own data center. The consensus is not just that AI investment is large, it's that it's structurally self-sustaining. The implicit theory is that each wave of AI infrastructure investment generates returns that justify the next wave, creating a durable, multi-decade build-out comparable to the railroad or internet infrastructure cycles.
So let's take that seriously and ask, what would need to be true for that confident consensus to be wrong? The strongest counterargument starts with the question of whether the returns on AI infrastructure are being realized at the enterprise level in ways that actually justify the CapEx. We've seen extraordinary investment in AI systems, But there's limited systematic evidence of the productivity gains that should be flowing through to corporate earnings to justify the next round of investment. If the productivity gains remain diffuse, hard to measure, or concentrated in a very narrow set of use cases, the investment cycle could slow or pause faster than the current consensus assumes.
There's also a concentration assumption embedded in the bullish AI CapEx thesis that I want to probe. The $5.5 trillion figure implicitly assumes that the hyperscalers, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, continue to compete aggressively on model capability and need to keep investing to maintain competitive position. But what if open-weight models close the capability gap fast enough that the frontier premium evaporates? Deutsche Bank's 65 times cost differential between frontier and open-weight AI is itself the indicator to watch here. If that gap narrows to, say, 10 times, the justification for the frontier CapEx race weakens significantly because enterprises will opt for the dramatically cheaper alternative.
And the energy constraint is real in a way that the financial models don't fully capture. Foxconn's $1.3 billion annual power cost for a single gigawatt facility means that at the scale JP Morgan is projecting, AI data centers would consume electricity at a rate that strains regional grids, requires massive new generation capacity, and faces real permitting and infrastructure timelines. The capital can be mobilized faster than the power can be built. If grid constraints create a 2 or 3 year bottleneck, the investment cycle gets compressed in ways that could create a meaningful overhang.
So what's the specific signal to watch for? If we're wrong about the AI CapEx supercycle being structurally self-sustaining, the leading indicator will be hyperscaler guidance on AI-related revenue per dollar of AI infrastructure investment. If Microsoft, Google, and Amazon start reporting that their AI investments are generating strong revenue attribution, clear lines from AI CapEx to enterprise customer spending, the bull case strengthens. If that revenue attribution remains vague or disappointing in their next two earnings cycles, the investment pace is likely to slow materially. Watch the earnings calls from those three companies in Q3 and Q4 of this year for language around AI monetization specificity. That's the tell.